Thank you all for coming out here tonight. I'd like to invite you to dwell with me for just a little bit. I witnessed something this week that I can't seem to wrap my head around, and maybe just telling you the story would give me the ability to kind of process this event. Last week I was walking through the market, and I overheard a couple of people. They were talking about this man, they called him Yeshua, Jesus. They were saying that he had come into Jerusalem this week. This week is Passover. We just finished celebrating Passover, and he came into the city, and many of his followers came with him. And I've kind of heard of this man before, but not really much more than just in passing. But I heard them talking about how he rode in on a donkey. He rode in on this colt, and the people they felt the oppression of the Romans, and they see this prophecy Zechariah from so many years ago was being fulfilled, and they were talking about how excited they were, and the crowds were shouting Hosanna. They were shouting praise God for the salvation that is coming to us, King of Kings, and they saw this man, Jesus, and they were calling him the king. He was going to come in, and he was going to set things right. And I heard him talking about it, and it was just kind of in passing, and I didn't really get involved in the conversation. It kind of welled me up with excitement. I kind of got this overwhelming sense of happiness and peace that came over me, and not 2 days later, I was walking through that same market, and I heard these people talking, and it was just a totally different tone. I heard them talking about this Jesus man, this man from Nazareth, that place, that city that's just scum. There's nobody good comes from there. This Jesus of Nazareth, and they were talking about how he came into the temple, and he scattered the people. And they didn't know what to do with it. There was anger and there was frustration, and they thought this man was going to come and he was going to build up what the leaders had been doing, and the thing that really shocked me is that they didn't really have a full grasp on the anger that they had, but yet they were talking about how they needed to take his life. I mean, all I've heard about this man is he's this good teacher. He's teaching these wonderful things, and there's just this raw emotion of anger and hostility towards this man, who moments before they were shouting praises to God because he was coming. Last night, I heard a ruckus from down by the temple, so I went down there. They had him arrested. He was betrayed by one of his closest friends, his closest confidants in his life. One of his own disciples betrayed him and sold him out to the religious leaders who had been plotting for now a few days to take his life. And, you know, it's Passover. What are they doing? They're not allowed to have this trial. Why are they having this trial? Why can they not just let their passion subside and allow this man to have a real trial? It wasn't long before we heard account after account of how Jesus was going to tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, which is clearly an absurd statement. And Jesus just stood there and never defended himself. Why didn't he defend himself? I don't get it. Pretty soon that the religious leaders in the Sanhedrin, they'd passed on a sentence before Jesus even got there. He was guilty before the trial even started. It was so unfair. And Jesus just stood there and wouldn't defend himself. But you guys know that Jesus, that we can't, us Jews, we can't pass a sentence of death down. We can't do that. We have to get Roman permission, really. And so from there we moved, the crowds moved to Pilate's house. And they took Jesus there and they said, hey, this man, he's a horrible person, he's bad, he's awful. And they just everything that they brought was just totally, it was totally made up. I've never heard this before. And Pilate, he's all right. He's not one of us. So he's kind of an outsider. But he sort of has his head on right. But the people were so persistent. He came out and he was like, why is he deserving of death? Why do you want him dead? He's revolting against Rome. He's never lifted a finger against Rome. Why is this happening? There's just this guy, Barabbas. He's this rebel riser, and just kind of a no-good guy. All he does is just cause riots, and clearly he's more of a threat to the Roman Empire than this Yeshua is, this peacemaker, this teacher is. And Pilate, almost in a desperate attempt to free an innocent man who he knew was free, who he knew was free of guilt, he wanted to let him go. So he brought out Barabbas and he said, I can either let Jesus go or Barabbas go. And what did the crowds? The crowds just shouted, crucify Jesus. The thing that has me so broken is that in the panic and in the turmoil of the night, I shouted with him. I caught myself saying, crucify Jesus. Pretty soon Pilate came out and he washed his hands of Jesus' blood. Jesus at this point has been kind of slapped around, but it's just the beginning. I've seen Roman crucifixions from a distance. I've never seen one up close. There's nothing else like it. Pilate, in one last desperate attempt, it seems, to get the crowds to see Jesus for not deserving of death, had him flogged. I don't know if you've ever witnessed a flogging, but not like the ones that we do in our synagogues whenever we need to correct a wrongdoing. Not like that. Not a one strand whip that's just meant to give. It's not meant to do what the Romans meant it to do to Jesus. Their whips, they have three strands, 3 feet long. And the worst part is not that there's three strands, but that they take little pieces of bone and metal and they weight the strands. They tie them in and they lace it in, and I've never seen so much blood. You know, we have mercy. We have compassion on even the lowest of criminals, and we restrict our beatings to 39 lashes. This went on, it seemed like forever. I don't know how he survived. They tied him to that pole. They stretched him around it and then stripped him naked. There wasn't an inch of his body that was left untouched. I kind of got pushed forward to the front of the crowd, and it was just, he was right there, and there was nothing that I could do to stop this brutal beating. One guy said that he, at one point, the bone caught under his stomach and opened up his stomach to where you could see his insides. It was horrible. I had to continually wipe his blood off of me because it was so violent. It was like the guards wanted to kill him in that moment. They wanted him to die from the sheer amount of pain. Eventually this ended and Barabbas was set free by Pilate, and Pilate at this point he had, you know, if you want, after he's flogged, if you want to crucify him, go ahead. The blood is on your hands, not on mine. And so they, like this wasn't enough, they mocked him, they wrapped him in purple robes, and you guys know how our outer garments are all rough and absorbent. It just soaked the blood up almost instantly. It went from a purple color to a red, because there was just so much. Put a crown on his head, a crown of thorns. He said, "You're the king, you're the king." Soon they had enough of that, and they took those robes off, and the robe at some level was maybe stopping the bleeding, and it just came all back. They put his clothes back on, and they said, "You go and you carry your own cross to the place of your crucifixion." I looked at his back as he put that beam on his back to carry it. He wanted to do everything that he could to take this upon himself, but he just had no more strength left. And he collapsed. He called somebody out of the crowd, and they had him carry Jesus' cross, and eventually they got to the place of the skull. At this point, I can't even fathom the suffering, the pain that has gone into this horrible night for an innocent man. They threw him down on the cross, and they nailed him to it. I could almost feel each blow of the hammer to the nails, thud, thud. In the pit of my stomach, I felt a sickness come over me as I heard his cries of pain and agony, as his bones in his hands broke. And they pushed him up and they hung him from the cross. There's something about this guy that I couldn't quite get. But by all accounts that I've heard outside of this week, this man is really an innocent man, and yet he's enduring an incredible amount of pain and torture. And still on his face was this sense of peace and completion. I couldn't figure it out. It wasn't long. I think because he was beaten so early in the day, that kind of had time to set in. I think that was almost a little bit of a mercy for Jesus, but still not much. It wasn't long before you could clearly see Jesus' strength going out of his body, and then all of a sudden, pop, I heard his shoulder break, and then his other shoulder. Not long after that, his elbows popped out of sockets. You could see him literally stretching and sagging from the cross. Every single breath that he took was agonizing. It was horrible to hear his gargled breath, his blood-soaked gasps for air. Each time he went to take a breath, he'd push up on his feet, and I could see the splinters from the cross stabbing into his already wounded back. And yet, in this time of immense pain and suffering, he spoke words of kindness to his mother, to his followers. And what has haunted me he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I've been watching this, and I can tell you right now, they knew every step of the way the pain they were inflicting. Forgive them. I had this sense, this feeling in the pit of my stomach that he wasn't just talking about those who put him there. He's talking about me. He's talking about me, or something I couldn't grasp the feeling. He felt this overwhelming sense of peace wash over me. As he said, it was finished. And he breathed his last breath. It was like in that moment, the earth mourned his death. The sun had gone away. It seemed like it was night. It was middle of the afternoon. The earth shook. And not like anything I felt before, but like the earth was crying out on his behalf. Eventually they took him down. And now I'm here. I'm here telling you this story, and I'm not entirely sure what we're to do with it. There's something about the events that I've just witnessed that I somehow feel are good. They're right. Not because of something that I understand about it, but the look on his face, that look of forgiveness, I've never seen it on anybody else's face quite like that. You know, we celebrate each year, we celebrate Good Friday. Good Friday. The Roman crucifixion is largely considered to be one of the most brutal forms of capital punishment that have ever been invented. The sheer amount of torture that is inflicted upon somebody who goes through a Roman crucifixion is staggering. But I think the crucifixion is only part of the pain. Jesus took upon the debt that we have made. The cross needs to be brutal because Christ took upon our brutal sins. And a perfect God who is perfectly just cast down a judgment upon man that landed squarely upon his Son on the cross. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul tells us, tells the Corinthians, but he tells us, by association, he tells us, starting in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." We've made it a little bit of a tradition here at Christ Church to do communion just a little bit different than we would normally on a normal Sunday morning. And this is to remind us of the importance of the cross. The joy that we have is that this story doesn't end with Jesus on the cross on Friday. But it ends with Jesus resurrected from the tomb. But we can't forget the cross. We can't forget that our sins do have a price. And that they were paid. Jesus paid the debt that we are deserved. We're going to take communion now. And we're going to have some ushers kind of usher us around. You're going to come out of the rows. Going to go take communion, come back around, and kind of come back around to your seats just to try to keep from some congestion happening. So follow out the rows and then come back around and come in the backside. You'll go the whole way across. But as we take communion, I pray that you think about the brokenness that Christ endured for us. And remember the freedom that we have because of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for Good Friday. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who sent your Son to this earth, not just to teach good things, but take upon the punishment that is rightfully owed to us. Lord, let us not forget the brutality of the cross. Let us not forget that Jesus did not go there unwillingly, wasn't forced to the cross, but went with peace in his heart knowing that through this act, all the world may be saved. Father, help us to remember that. Help us to dwell on it. Lord, we thank you for your Son. And we pray this in his name. Amen.